Hi, this is Tony at Cover Magazine. I'm speaking to Vis Govender, the CEO of Everything.insure and also the group CEO of First Equity Group. Vis, thank you very much for having this conversation with me this morning.
Morning, Tony, and really glad to be here. Thank you.
Great stuff. We've got this new series called Mindshift by Cover, and the whole idea is to talk to people that are sort of specialists in certain areas, that their businesses focus on certain areas, etc., and to just share some of their knowledge and experience and that with our audience. And so thank you for participating in sharing some of your knowledge, Vis.
Sure.
Great stuff. So Vis, maybe before we carry on, for those that don't know, if you can just give us a bit of an idea as to what Everything.insure is all about, and also maybe how does it fit in with First Equity Group?
Okay, thank you. So I'll start with First Equity Group. You know, been around since the early 2000s, and we started off as a traditional distribution business, an insurance business, just grew and expanded and been reasonably successful in the South African market and then into the Southern African market. So we throw out SADC and East Africa, South Africa, Mauritius, and recently into India as well. That's the group. And we do, broking, we do reinsurance broking, we do product development, technology development, and we underwrite for Lloyd's as well. So we're a Lloyd's cover holder in a nutshell. A couple of years ago, we decided that the future is digital. And, what happened in banking is going to happen in insurance. We're just lagging that by probably, 20 years, but it had to come. And we started to say, how could we digitize our processes internally? That's where Everything.insure started. It wasn't initially started as a separate business. It was started off as how can we digitize our internal processes. Once we got on that journey, we realized that this needed to be a separate business all by itself, and we created this new brand called Everything.insure. And Everything.insure is, it's many things, but in a nutshell, it's a digital marketplace. So it's a marketplace as opposed to a single place you go, a shop that you go to buy a single product. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to give consumers, insurance consumers initially, a place they could go to and buy any product that they wanted to and be able to do this by themselves without any intervention from anyone. And that buyer could either be a broker or it could be an end client themselves. So not a disintermediation play necessarily or at all. In fact, Everything.insure is a digital broker. It is licensed with the Financial Services Authority as a digital broker with the right to give automated and digital advice.
Okay. So basically, you're just a broker with a very slick process using technology, if I can sort of almost sum it up.
Yeah, that's a fair sum.
Okay, brilliant. So maybe just to then focus back a little bit on that journey towards the digitization, et cetera. It was inevitable. Everybody saw it coming, et cetera. There's been a lot of trial and error globally in the market with trying to do things differently using technology, etc. But at the end of the day, it still comes back to doing insurance, not technology. But if I in a release that you guys sent out, you spoke about McKinsey that made a statement that said seismic impact on all aspects of the insurance industry. And that's the effect of technology that they were referring to. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more as to what do they mean by a seismic impact on all aspects?
Yeah, so the seismic impact it's a sensationalish title by McKinsey, I suppose, but really, the whole insurance industry is going to change. And, you know, I keep using the banking analogy because I come from a banking space as well. It happened in banking. It started, you know, around about 2099. And banking doesn't look the same today that it looked then. You know, very few people go into a branch to do anything. Very few people have a deposit book where you go and a teller writes in it and stamps it and, you know, that sort of stuff. And you wouldn't deal with a bank that didn't allow you to do things yourself at any time of the day or night, you know, through your app. You wouldn't deal with such a bank. And in fact, you're now getting banks that are digital first and completely digital that don't even have a branch infrastructure at all, any physical infrastructure, like, for example, Tyme Bank in South Africa. So that's what's going to happen. That's what's happening in insurance. Every part of the insurance industry, in every part of the value chain, every part of the customer journey is going to be impacted by technology. And InsurTech, as we're referring to it, which is a subset of FinTech, which includes all aspects of the finance industry, is in a trial and error phase, as you rightly put it. It, you know, people started to dabble probably 3, 4, 5 years ago, and there's some well-known examples around the world. You know, Lemonade is probably the poster child. Everyone knows Lemonade, very successful IPO, and so on. And what they did was to come up with a very, very slick, quick, enjoyable buying journey for a customer, but for a single product and a very, very, very niche specific product, which was renter's insurance in New York City only. So they took a very specific small part of the problem and solved it well. And that was because, firstly, it's a difficult thing to solve. You know, trying to digitize this in an industry that's not very digital, customers are not used to digital in insurance. We and Everything.insure have taken a different approach. We said that you need to solve the entire thing. And it can't just be renter's insurance in New York. It needs to be everything. You need, if we really want to see this revolution in the industry where people change their behavior completely, you need to solve it completely. And you, whether it's pet insurance or funeral insurance or car insurance, house insurance, liability, PI, commercial, medical aid, whatever it is, you need to be able, it's like walking into a Pick and Pay, and you need to be able to buy anything and everything that you want in a consistent journey. And you know, as opposed to going to 15 different places, if I want renter's insurance in New York, I go to Lemonade. If I want pet insurance, I go to Dotsure. If I want car insurance, I go to Naked. And if I want business insurance, I go to Everything.insure. We said it must all be encapsulated in one place. So that's the difference in how we try to solve it. And we then said everything from claims to quoting, to binding, to paying, to making changes yourself, et cetera. You had everything had to change. So that's what's happening, but we're very, very, very much in the infancy of it. You know, it's going to be a while. I mean, we first needed to move from paper to digital, and a lot of the insurance industry is still not fully digital. People still fill in forms. People still talk to call center agents. So that was the first step, which was digital. After digital, you then had to automate. And after automate, you then had to bring in things like AI and the next level of technologies that just makes it all that much easier. So I think that's what McKinsey's talking about in terms of the seismic change, you know, the way you process a claim. You know, our vision in our business is, when you click that last button in your claims journey, we want you to hear a ping and you look at your phone and you've got a deposit in your bank account and it's sorted. So that's the goal for our design team. We're not there yet. Nobody's there yet. There's a whole lot else we need to solve, but that's the goal. So it completely changes it. You know, no assessor, no panel beater being necessarily involved. You're going to have self-healing cars. You're going to have all of these amazing things, but you know, it's going to be another 30 years before all of that happens.
Thanks for that. It gives me quite a good idea as to where we are in terms of this technology journey. But, you know, when you talk about, okay, so this means everything, as you now said, the whole process, start to finish, does that not take us back to the whole thing of, well, the big wallets win? As soon as they pick up on this, and they put their big money behind it, the small guys are lost. How do you see that? Because you guys effectively, when you compare yourself to the big guys, you're a small guy.
We're a small guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are, and in some respects, big wallets, when big wallets always have the advantage, that's no question. I mean, I 100% concede that. But, you know, I personally do have a long corporate background, you know, large internationals and very large South African financial services companies. And I can tell you this, you know, what would have, you know, I was at, I'll name, I was at Nedbank, you know, in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. What would have cost us 500 million rands and probably a 5-year project? Today, we can do for 500,000 rands and probably do it in 5 weeks, in some cases, 5 days. Mm-hmm. So in some respects, it's made it easy for new entrants and the small guys with smaller wallets to take on the big guys. So it's leveled things in a lot of respects, Tony. And the advantage of incumbency, the advantage of big wallets is to some extent neutralized. But the big wallet guys will always have, you know, they'll be able to throw more money at it. They'll be able to, you know, things like AI have simplified or enabled smaller guys. We don't need 150 years of data like Old Mutual to mine that to get the perfect algorithm or the perfect rating model and so on. AI has kind of given the very small guy the ability to access that kind of information. So in some respects, I think it's more leveling, but the big guys will always have some degree of advantage. Mm-hmm. So the smaller guy who's innovative, the smaller guys who have got good ideas, the smaller guys who are really, you know, keen to change the status quo, change the way we do things, I think they've got a better chance now than they've ever had.
Yeah. And as we've seen from the past, from the fading away of some of the big players in various industries, even they can't get complacent when technology changes and when the market shifts. So it does allow for some sort of opportunity for the average player. This, I think the important thing then also to carry on with is that you are saying that you're not into, it's not about disintermediation, it's actually about a broker utilizing technology and, as you now say, being nimble and innovative and all of those sort of things. If you look at the broker market as a whole, there's a big shift towards an advice-driven intermediary market. Where does this leave you with everything.insure and with you know, that part of your process?
Well, it is very much with everything.insure, it's very much an advice driven process as opposed to a product journey. So we've spent a lot of time building that, enabling that, supporting a customer through the journey, giving them advice all the way through the process, giving them consistent advice and correct advice all the way through the process, integrating AI into the process to make some of the more difficult questions that somebody might want answerable, and integrating our proprietary advice databases into the AI chatbots and so on, which is, I mean, very, very recent. We're talking in the last, you know, less than the last year that that's become possible, that you can take ChatGPT or Bard or one of these other models and integrate it with your own data. Teach it on your own stuff, your own wordings, your own frequently asked questions, your own products, etc. So it is very, very, very much advice driven. So I think the two things that one is going to see happening: the traditional broker, you know, Tony, we know in our industry we've got a lot of brokers who are largely tied. You know, they largely support a single insurer. Yeah. And promote a single insurer's product. I mean, there are many, many, many examples. You know, they registered as brokers, but 80% of their business is placed with Santam or with Old Mutual, etc. And the reason for that is that it's the difficulty that you have, you know, especially when you're moving from just a single mom and pop type operation to 20, 30, 40 staff and the rest of it, to keep your staff absolutely properly trained in all the different insurance products out there and ability to compare those things and give advice. You know, if a client asks you to do a market exercise today on a personal lines policy, a high net worth client in a personal lines policy, it could take one of your brokers a week to get the quotes from the three or four different insurers, to put it together, to put a comparison together, to put the highlights of the different products together and then present that to a client. You can now do that in minutes and seconds. And everything.insure, we can do that in seconds. So it's enabling a broker, but as a broker, you're gonna be irrelevant if all you're doing is largely telling clients about a single insurer's product. You're gonna be irrelevant. So brokers need to change. Brokers need to embrace the technology, and brokers need to use the tools that are available. And what it's also doing is it's when I say we're not a disintermediation play. It is still an intermediary, but it's a different sort of intermediary. Like everything.insure happens to have been born out of a traditional insurance business, but we could just as well have been a couple of young guys coming out of university and sitting in a garage and built it. You know, so there are going to be some left field players who are not traditional brokers who are going to come into the industry and they're going to disrupt. And that's what we're going to see happening.
Most definitely. One can see the trajectory as it comes, you know, and the almost sort of different stakes are put into the ground for something to develop around that and then move on. The last question that I want to just quickly ask you in terms of the platform, you were saying that you are also operating in SADC, Mauritius and so on. Are you developing the platform so that it is a bit more universal? In other words, you can transfer and utilize it in Kenya, for instance?
So short answer, yes. I mean, as you know, our industry is very highly regulated, so you need a license for every territory and so on. That's in every territory we enter, that's what we have to do, is we have to apply for our license and comply with the local licensing regulation. But from a platform point of view, you know, we've taken a very, very, very different approach, Tony, to your typical insurtechs, you know, where what a lot of guys have done is they've built a product journey. They've sold that really well. You want to buy funeral insurance, you want to buy car insurance, you want to buy home insurance. Here's a really great journey to buy that. And that's what it does. It's fit for that purpose. What we've built is we've built product generators, flow generators, rating engines, generators, and that sort of stuff. So we can very quickly take a traditional product and digitize, because you can sell something digitally, you first have to digitize it. And that's a long process. For a lot of people, it could take them 6 months to 2 years to build a digital journey for a product and 100 million rands easily, 50 million rands easily. We can do that now in days, and let's be generous and say a week, and it costs us tens of thousands of rands. So that's the big difference in our technology in terms of what we built. And then it automatically goes onto a digital marketplace, a digital shelf with a pre-built digital journey to buy it. So going into India, going into Mauritius, going into Kenya, to take a local product and digitize it is a very, very quick, easy process. And that's why it's easy for us to get into other markets. And yes, we can.
Yes, very, very exciting. It's amazing to see how the industry, how fast it's developing. So congratulations on that, Wiz, and good luck with the rollout. And it's probably going to scale very quickly. So good luck to you guys with that.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks very much. Appreciate the chat.